Okay, so if you go to the course main site here, I have updated the information about test number two. So I have updated the problem set one and two. Problem set two essentially is the one that I have gone through on Friday. So if you have any specific questions about those two sets, you can let me know. So today we'll go back to the Great Manual Chapter 8. So so we finished the point where we have, so let me go to the notes about Chapter 8 of the Great Manual. So remember this set of notes that we have prepared for you, serve kind of a guideline to do the exercises here. So last time we stopped at section number 5, so where we finished the table to create and summarize all the large earthquakes with a magnitude that is greater than 7.5. So the next task is we have to create a graph. So if I go to the Great Manual Chapter 8, and essentially what we will have to create is a graph that shows in figure 8.21 here. So in order to go to this step here, there are multiple stages we have to go through first. So the first thing is, if I go back to page 17 here. So what we have done here is we have created a table or a report that summarizes all the earthquakes with a magnitude that is greater than 7.5. So the next step is, so if you go look at the depth field in the actual table, we would like to divide that according to different ranges. So in this case, for example, if we have a depth between 0 and 15 kilometers, we would like to define surface to that. The next one, if the depth level is between 15 kilometers to 40 kilometers, then that should be classified as shallow. The next one, the depth between 40 and 100 kilometers, then we would classify that as medium. And the last one is anything that is greater than 100 kilometers, we would classify that one as deep. So this concept is very similar to the lookup function that we have looked at in Excel. The question now is, how do we set up the boundaries in this case here? So if you look at the first two cases here, we have surface, which is a depth level between 0 to 15 kilometers. But if you look at the next range, we have shallow, which is between 15 and 40 kilometers as well. So we have to define 15 kilometers, is it belong to surface or is it belong to shallow? Now, if you look at the last range here, we have a depth level that is greater than 100 kilometers, then that is belong to deep. So that means 100 kilometers does not belong to the category deep, but it belongs to the category medium. So we follow the same concept back to the first range here. So that means 15 kilometers is in fact included in surface, but it's not included in shallow. So anything that is greater than 0, less than or equal to 15 kilometers will be belong to surface, and anything that is greater than 15 but less than or equal to 40 kilometers will become shallow. So we will go ahead and implement this equation in Microsoft Access. So let me open the file that we have stopped on Wednesday. So remember, we have created multiple queries and reports based on the exercises that we have gone through. And just a quick overview that we do have three tables in this exercise. And if I go back to the earthquake table here, so this is the depth level that we are looking at. So we will have to classify the depth level according to this data here. So as a first step, so what we'll have to do is we have to create a query. So we go to query design, and we select earthquake table. We close that. And as the first field, what we will have to do is we have to drag depth into the first one. And if you remember that the depth column here in the earthquake table, it does contain in some records, it does not have a numerical value. So we would like to eliminate those cases. So what we will have to do in this case here is, under criteria, we will have to enter a statement that says is not null. So this simply eliminate any numbers that does not have a numerical value. So at the end, what we will get is a column of actual data that consists of numerical values. So this is the first column for this new query. The next one is we will have to use the builder again to create a function that implement what we just have gone through in this on page 17 here. So we go to builder, and if we go to the functions here, in Microsoft Access, we do not have the option to use the lookup function. So if you remember that in chapter 2 and chapter 3 from the Glade manual, we will have to use multiple if statements to achieve that function. So the first thing is we have to select the built-in if function. So we can go to the category here where it says all, and then we select the right function. So we go to expression values, and then we scroll down and choose the right one. Now, in Microsoft Access, as I have mentioned before, the function is called IIF instead of the conventional IF statement. So if you look at the description here, we do have three input arguments to fill in. So we have to provide the expression and the value if it's true and the value if it's false. So if you have any uncertainties about how to use this function, you can always double click into this function here, and then a new dialog box will come up and you can take a look on a few examples. So in this case, we will select the if statement. Now, if I go back to the expression here, I would like to do is I would like to select this depth level to put it in the expression here, because the first thing is we want to select depth is less than or equal to 15. So we want to select the depth that is under the query that we just created. But you know, up to this point here, I haven't saved this query yet. So if I go to the exercise and under queries here, this depth level does not appear in the expression category because we have not saved this query yet. So what we will have to do is we have to exit this builder first. We have to save the query first so that the depth field will become visible when we use the function to find the depth field under the new query that we just created. So first of all, we have to save this one, and we want to save this one as depth level depth ranges. Okay, so we go back to the query that we just created, which is the depth ranges. Go to design view. Now we can go ahead and go to the second field and use the builder function to create the new formula. So we select builder again. So if I just double check here under queries and depth ranges here, we see the depth field that we just included in the saved file. So the first thing is we have to go back to the built-in functions and search for the if function. So the expression here is we have to go back to the queries, depth ranges, and we select the only field here, which is depth. Double click that, and the logical statement here should be depth is less than or equal to 15. So the true part is, if we go back to the criteria here, is the true part is we want to assign the word surface to the depth level between 0 to 15 kilometers. So under true part here, we double click that, and we type in double quotations, and within that, we type in the word surface. The fourth part here will be an other if statement, because the fourth part here means that the depth level is greater than 15 kilometers. So here we have to go back to the built-in function again. and select the if statement. Now, if I need to create, if I need to fill in the expression and the true part again, then I will have to switch back and forth from the query and the built-in functions. And it's pretty time consuming, as I should say. So what we can do is, if we go back to the main criteria here, we know that we have 1, 2, 3, 4 different ranges. So what we can do is we can, a single if statement will give them two options, because two options means that we have one of them is the value if true, the other one is the value if false. So with this criteria here, with four different ranges here, what we should do is we have to use three if statements in this case here. So if we go back to the expression builder here, what we can do is within the false part here, we can choose another if statement again, so that we don't need to switch back and forth from the query and the built-in functions. So we can go back here now to fill in the rest of the expression here. So the expression here for the second one is, we just go back to depth ranges query, and we select depth. And this one time is less than or equal to 40. And the true part here is double quotation. And we would like to assign the word shallow. Now, the next if statement, now we don't need to go back to the built-in functions because the if statement is already there. So the next part here is, if depth is less than or equal to 100, the true part here is medium, and the false part here is, of course, it's the last one, which is deep. So this is done. So we just click OK. And we would like to change the name expression 1 to depth level. Okay, so we can always go back to the data view to just double check if this looks correct. So we have the first one, which is a depth of 20. So a depth of 20, if we go back to the grade menu here, so 20 is between 15 and 40 kilometers, and that should be belong to shallow. So we have the first one as shallow. Same thing for the second one, which is 33 kilometers, and that is also between 15 and 40. So we have a shallow according to the criteria. So this is done as the first step. So what we will have to do is we would like to insert another field in the design view. So let me go back to the design view here. At the end of the day, if you go back to, let me just go back to the grade menu and go to figure 8.20 here. So what we would like to do is we would like to plot the number or the count of magnitude according to different depth levels. So that's why we'd like to select the magnitude field as well into the query that we just created. So in the next field, what we'll have to do is we have to drag magnitude into the third one. And so again, if you go back to the Allquick table, magnitude in some of the records, the magnitude does not have a numerical value. So we would like to eliminate those cases as well. So in this case, under criteria, we have to do the same thing that we just did with depth. So we just type in is not new. So this way we will eliminate any records with an empty spot in magnitude. So we save this one. And if I go back to the query again. So we saw that the magnitude is now included in the query here. So the next step is, before we go to 8.21, so let's see how we can create the graph that shows in figure 8.20 here. So we see that we would like to plot the magnitude at each depth, and we want to plot them according to the four different ranges that we just created. So in order to create a graph, so what we will have to do now is we have to go to report. So we go to create report here, and this time we will choose the report design option. So we double click that. And this is the design view that we will see. So we have the page header and the detail. So this time, instead of creating a tabulator report format, so what we would like to do is we would like to create a graph. So we go to design tab here, and under the controls option, so if we scroll down here, we see that we have an icon that looks like a bar chart here. So we will select that one. So we left click this one and put the mouse under detail. And here you should try to drag an area as large as possible. So and then a new dialog box come up. So here we will proceed and create the chart here. So this case we have, remember we have the three tables. Well, if we ignore the import errors one. So we have three tables under tables, and we have the three queries that we just created. So you have the option to choose which one to use. So in this case, we would like to choose the depth ranges query because this is the one that we just created. So we select that and click Next. Now the next one here is we have to select the field for the chart. So if you go back to the summary that we created for you, so under section number 6 here, we also have mentioned the order that you should use. So the order here is you should select magnitude first and then depth level to create the chart. So we select magnitude and then depth level and then next. Of course, we have the options to choose a pie chart or bar chart. So in this case here, we want to create a 3D bar chart. So we select the second one here from the first row. We click Next. And we would like to modify a few items here again. So the first thing is we would like to count the number of magnitude in that range. So if you click this option here, a new dialog box come up and you have 6 different options here. And in this case here, we would like to calculate the number of times instead of the sum. So we would like to select count, choose OK, and depth level remain in the x-axis, but for the series here, we have to drag one of the options over here. So in this case, we would like to drag magnitude to the series. So as long as I drag that one to the series option here, we see the plot changes. So we click Next. And let me double check what's the name here. Okay, so let's say this is the right one, so we click Finish. So this is the pie chart that we just created, but you have to remember that right now we are in design view, so this is not the final bar chart that we created. So in order to check the final outlook of your chart, you have to go to Report View, and this is the one that we created. And we see that this one looks more or less similar to the one in Figure 8.20. The only thing is that we only see deep and shallow in this case here. Well, that's just because if you go back to the design view, we have to make the chart a little bit bigger so that that can display all 4 columns at the same time. So let me try to enlarge this one. If I go back to report view, so now you see that we have the 4 different ranges that we just created using the query. So we have deep, medium, shallow, and surface. So you see on the legend here, we have a range of numbers here. So the first one here, we see we have 2_4. The next one is 2_5. So what do those numbers mean? So the first one simply means that the underscore here replaces the decimal place position. So what it means here is this means 2.4, the next one is 2.5, the next one is 2.7. So this means we have an earthquake with magnitude of 2.4. This one is an earthquake with a magnitude of 2.5. So we see that we have 4 different ranges, and on the y-axis here, this is the number of magnitudes that occur during in that particular range. So we see that we have, even though we have created a bar chart in this case, but we have too much information provided in this scenario here, and it becomes not very easy to understand from a user point of view. So of course, if you go back to the grid menu, we have more detailed information to provide to you. So what we would like to do next is we would like to group the magnitude of the earthquake according to the range that we see in figure 8.21 here. So if the magnitude of the earthquake is less than 3, we would like to group them by a range. The next range is an earthquake between 3 to 4. So what we would like to do next is we will have to use the query again to create a new field that use multiple if statements to implement this ranges again. So because we do not have the lookup function, so we will have to utilize the multiple if statement to implement this function here. So let me close this one. And okay, I just say report one is good for this chart here. So this is the table, so we want to close this as well. So we go back to the query that we just created, which is the depth ranges, and go to design view. And we know that we have three columns we already created. So the next one is we will implement the function that we just saw in figure 8.21 here to classify the magnitude of the earthquake. So go to Builder again. So this case here, we will go to query again, which is depth ranges, and under depth ranges here, we see that we have the three different fields that we have entered. So we have depth level, and magnitude. So we can go ahead and use the built-in functions to create multiple if statements inside this expression here. So let me choose the first if statement first. So we have IIF as the if statement. So in the expression now, in this scenario, what we would like to do is we can simply enter what we see in figure 8.21 here. So the first range here will be less than 3. So this is absolutely less than 3. So this is not less than or equal to 3. So we can just go ahead and select magnitude under depth ranges. So this will be less than 3. And the true part here is what we would like to do is we just want to enter the text here less than 3. So we would use double quotations again. So less than 3. The fourth part here, we will have to choose the if statement. So we will have to choose if statement again. So we can use the same technique that we create the formula when we create depth level. So what we can do is if we count the number of cases, in this case we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. 6 different cases. So how many if statements will we need? 5, right? So what we can do is we can, so we have 1, 2. So the fourth part here will be another if statement. And same thing here will be another one. So 1, 2, 3, 4, so we need one more, 5. Okay, so in the second if statement here, we'll have to enter. So now we can just go back to query and depth ranges and select magnitude. So this time this is less than 4. And the true part here will be, again, we follow what we see in figure 8.21, so this will become 3 space, TO space 4. So we had type 3 space TO space 4. Okay, the next one is magnitude less than 5. So the true part here will be 4 to 5. So the next one, it will be magnitude less than 6. So the true part hail will become 5 to 6. And the last one here will be magnitude again, less than 7. And the true part hail will become 6 to 7. And the fourth part here is we can go back to the grade manual and it says 7 and greater. So we just type in the same thing in the figure here. So we just type in double quotations, 7 and greater. So we click OK, and this is how we completed the formula in this case. So again, we want to change expression 1 to magnitude level. Okay, so we can go back to the data view to make sure that this is the right thing. So if you look at the first one, we have a magnitude of 6.7. So according to the formula that we just built, so this should be belong to 6 to 7. So if I scroll down and select some other cases, so if we select, look at this one here, we have a magnitude of 4.6. And according to the formula that we created, so this will become a magnitude level between 4 to 5. So everything looks good at this point. So go back to design view here. We close this, and we would like to save this one now. So the next thing is, it's pretty much the same step that we just used to create the graph for report one. So the last step here is we can now go ahead and create a graph that shows in frequency 8.21 here. So we go back to Access and go to Create Report Design. And we select the same option again, which is the icon that shows the pie chart, the bar chart. So we drag it as large as possible. And in this case, of course, we select the depth ranges query again. So we select Next. And in terms of the order here, you can always go back to section 7 here. So we have also mentioned the order in this case. So in this case here, we have to drag magnitude level first and then the depth level. So we do that and we click Next. So we select the 3D bar chart again. So we have to fill in the option here for the bar chart. So for the data here, it will be magnitude level because we want to count the magnitude level here. So the x-axis here, it will be depth level. Okay, and on the series side here, if you're not sure anything, you can always go back to this summary or this nooks here. So again, we can drag magnitude level into the series box. Okay, so we click Next. And this is done. So we see we have the bar chart again. Now, you may ask, so what are those words here mean and what are this bar chart here? So this is just a sample for you, to show you what kind of structure that you would expect to see in the report view. So this is nothing related to the final outlook of your bar chart, so don't get panicked if you see something like this. So always click View and Report View to make sure that you get the right thing here. So we see we have the legend that we created based on the equation that we entered. And of course, right now, some of the ranges are not showing here. So we can go back to design view and enlarge this graph here. So like make the area a bit bigger here and drag the size of this chart here to make it look much larger. So go back to report view here. So this looks pretty much the same as figure 8.21 here. So we have four different ranges. And if I go to the right here, so we see we have the four different items as well as the legend at this point here. So we in this exercise also, we try to emphasize the point that you should create a graph that looks exactly the same like this one here. So a failure to do so will result in your homework being rejected. So make sure that you have come to the point that where you can duplicate what we've shown in figure 8.21. So if you look at this figure here, we need to put in the x-axis and the y-axis labels. So if I go back to Microsoft Access to this graph here, we're still missing a few items. So what we can do is we go back to design view. Okay, so let me. Okay, so what we can do now is we can click anywhere within the area of the plot, double click that. So we see we have another toolbar came up here. So we have file, edit, view. So this is similar to the Microsoft Word or Microsoft Excel structure. So if we select chart here and under chart options, so a new dialog box come up. So we have titles, axis, grid lines, legend, all kind of things that we can manipulate. So we click on titles here. So you can change the title to magnitude counts at each depth. So we can do that. Okay, and the x-axis here, it will be depth. So we see that we have three different axes here because right now we have a three-dimensional plot. So the horizontal axis still becomes the x-axis, but the vertical axis now becomes the z-axis. So the vertical axis, in terms of the label, that will be count. So this is done. So we click anywhere outside the plot and go back to the report view. So we see this is the final part that we have. So any questions about this exercise? No? Okay, so this exercise, chapter 8, there will be three items that you have to submit. So make sure that you submit all those items by the end when you need to submit that. I believe that should be after next week. Okay, so let me go back to the course webpage. So that is chapter 8 of the GLAID manual, and even though the GLAID manual has 21 pages, so we have those set of notes that kind of serve as a guideline for you to perform all different kinds of exercises. So if I go back to topics in the main site here, so we have essentially finished all the topics in topic E, which is databases, and we will now move forward to the last topic, which is computer networks. So computer networks, with respect to the textbook, chapter 15, it has the whole chapter to talk about the network. And then in chapter 16, we have two sections that talks about some programming language when we use networking. So in that case, we would like to introduce HTML languages. So in terms of the GLAID menu, we only have one chapter to talk about networking. And next week, I will talk about chapter 9. So I will mention about how to create a simple web page in chapter 9 on the GLAID manual. So we have a bit of time, so I would like to proceed and talk about the actual materials in computer network. So like I said, this is corresponding to chapter 15. So when we talk about computer network, so essentially it is a collection of computing devices. So you pay attention to the term that I use a computing devices instead of computers. That because in a computer network, so that can be a printer, that can be a smartphones or iPods or anything that are connected to a particular network. So that does not necessarily imply to only computers. So a formal term to refer to a computer network is a collection of computing devices that are connected in several different ways in order to communicate and share the resources. So when we talk about the connection within the network, so that can be a physical connection or that can be a wireless connection. When we talk about physical connection, in the old days, we need to use a cable or wire to connect the two multiple devices to ensure that we have the proper connection. Now, most of the computer network now we go to wireless. So when we talk about wireless connection, that means we're using some kinds of radio waves or infrared signals to transmit all the signals. So some terminologies in terms of computer network. So when we refer to any device on the network, so the device again can be a computer or a printer, so we call that a node or a host. The second thing is the data transfer rate. So the data transfer rate is something that we have seen this one in chapter 5 when we talk about how fast the computer hard drive is transferring the data. So the same meaning applied to this context here. So the data transfer rate refers to the speed with which the data is moved from one place in a network to another. So of course, the faster the data transfer rate that we have, the better performance that we will get in terms of the service that you get from the networking. So when we talk about computer networks, there are two kinds of network. Well, essentially, there should be a third one somewhere between the local area network and the wide area network. So we will spend some time to talk about that later on. But for now, the major networks is what we call we have a local area network, LAN for short. So the basic meaning here is that this network only connects to a relatively small number of machines within a particular area. So when we talk about a small area here, it can be only extend to a few square kilometers. So in this case, it can be the multiple computers or printer within a lab, so that can call a local area network. On the other hand, we also have a wide area network. So a wide area network, essentially, it will connect multiple local area network together. So essentially, the area that covered by the wide area network is much, much larger than the local area network. So if we go to the infinity case, we will possibly to cover the entire planet. So those are the two main networks that we have, and actually those are the two main networks that the textbook have mentioned. So in terms of the local area network, so we have different types of configurations, or we have another name, topologies, to refer to those different kinds of configuration. So we have three different types of topologies. We have a ring topology. So if you look at this figure here, we have multiple computing devices connected in kind of a circular loop here, and they are connected in a closed loop manner. So this kind looks like a ring, so that's why we call this a ring topology. The next one here, we have a star topology. So a star topology, again, we have multiple computing devices connected together. But in this case, we have a single device that actually connects to all the rest of the computing devices within the network. So if you look at the shape of this network here, it looks like a star, so that's why we call this a star topology. The last one here, we have a bus topology. Now remember, when we talk about in chapter 5, when we talk about the Van Neumann computing architecture, we have multiple items that are connected to the common bus. So this structure or topology is similar to the concept inside the computing Van Neumann structure. So we have multiple computing devices, in this case, connected to a single bus. So this is why we call this one as a bus topology. So if we go back to the ring topology here, so as I have said earlier, so we have a single loop in a more or less in a closed loop manner. So in this case here, we have a computer that if a computer wants to send a message to another computer, so you will only go into one direction. So say for example, if we have this computer want to send a signal to this computer over here, so what it does is the signal will go through the next node, which is this one here, and the third node, which is this one here as well. So the signal will actually go through the next two computing devices first before it actually arrives to the destination. So using this kind of configuration, of course, it will take some time for that particular message or signal to arrive to the final destination. But if we compare the ring topology with the star topology, we see that we have a single computing device that is shared among the rest of the computing devices. Now, in other words, this central computing, we call this the central computing device, will have a very heavy burden because it is the one who's responsible to go through all kinds of transmitting the signal from one node to another node. So compared with the star topology, the ring topology is a much better option because the signal essentially you will travel through the single loop in one direction here, and in order to transmit one signal from one source to the end destination. Now compared with the bus topology here, the bus topology it actually uses a much more complicated structure. So the bus topology, what it does is, for example, if this computer wants to send a signal to the next one, what it have to make sure is that you will have to make sure that there's no collision that may eventually occur when it transmits the signal. So some of the examples that we're using these days, for example, the Ethernet, it is using the bus or the ring topology to transmit the signals. So in order to send a signal in the bus topology, what it does is you have to wait for an idle moment in order to send a signal from the source to send the signal to the destination. So this is a way to avoid collision that may eventually occur in the bus topology. So those are the three main topologies that we are under the local area network. And another example besides the Ethernet is the token ring example. So the token ring essentially is similar to the ring topology up in this figure here. So what it does is you can imagine that there's a token that is shared among all the computing devices inside this network here. So say for example, if you go back to the case where this computing device wants to transmit a signal to this computer here. So we only have one token that is being shared by all the computing devices. So what it does is this computer will have to take the token. And once the token is being taken by one node, then the rest of the machines will know that, one of the computing devices is actually trying to transmit a signal to the other one. So now the computing device with the token will transmit the signal going through the rest of the loop until the signal arrives at the destination. So once the signal arrives at the destination here, and this computer here will acknowledge the source here that the signal is received, then the source computer will give the token back to the network so that if the next machine wants to transmit a signal, the next machine can use the token again to transmit the signal to another computer. So the token ring topology is, like I said, is a much more reliable, I should say, compared to the star topology because it is more organized in a way that even though it takes longer to transmit a signal, but it will avoid the problem of having a single computer sharing all the networking responsibilities. So when we talk about networking, we have a general model which corresponds to the server and the client model. So we'll spend more time to talk about that next Monday when we come back to the textbook material. Okay, so that's all I want to say for today. So don't forget you have the test on Wednesday, and that will be all multiple choice questions. Okay?